Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome back to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. I'm Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And we are once again joined by our good buddy, Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, guys?
How's it going, everybody?
Completely Mike and Ike free.
Mike, completely.
Haven't had a single one all night.
Except for all the ones that you just ate?
Yeah.
I think Ryan...
There's some still stuck in my teeth. But we'll be fine.
We apologize.
Nobody's watching anyway.
Professionalism. Nobody's watching anyway. Nobody cares about what we have to say about anything.
We're in Major League now.
Awesome. Well, hey, this is going to be a pretty crazy episode, I think, because...
Probably about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, well, because our intention, which is what we've been telling everybody and what everybody keeps asking when we're going to do it, our intention was to sit down and actually talk about Star Wars some more, talk about Episode 7. And the plan is to do that. But once again, a ton of news has come out since the last time we sat down and recorded.
Which is totally our bad because we should have done this episode like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we're like, 3 weeks between episodes right now. So we should have sat down at least last week and done one. So we got a little bit behind. So definitely our fault. You can blame us. But there are a lot of news items that I want to talk about. John always blames me.
I blame myself.
No, I don't blame you. I blame us.
Oh, you blame us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan blames me.
Yeah. He blames himself.
Ryan, you need to show up more often and keep us on track. That's what it is. Well, we got a couple different types of topics. I know we do always do a lot of movie stuff, and we're going to get to that. But I thought we'd start to show a little bit different this week. New York Toy Fair is coming up very, very soon. What did you just put? You just put another Mike and Ike in your mouth? New York Toy Fair is a few weeks away. I'm going to be headed to New York again to talk about all the new toys coming out. And every time we get close to this time of year, we start getting things leaking out, as tends to happen. We get to start seeing some of the new toys a little bit earlier than we were expecting to. And I wanted to specifically talk about one of the ones I thought was worthy of discussing on this show because it relates to a movie. The product images for the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Out of the Shadows action figures popped up online about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And we were expecting these to show up at Toy Fair in New York, but it looks like some scans of, like, the little catalog inserts that usually come with the action figures. Somebody scanned them and put them online.
Yeah.
So we've got a full breakdown, it looks like, of the action figures that are going to be released for that. And the one reason specifically I thought would be important to note is it looks like we have a bit of a spoiler here.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that Krang, in his android body, is one of the action figures that is on
this
list.
That's the spoiler.
That's the spoiler. What were you looking at?
I thought Pirate Michelangelo was the spoiler.
That's the other spoiler. Yeah, there is totally a Pirate Michelangelo figure, which is hilarious.
I never even got past that on the card.
Yeah. So the lineup, if you guys haven't seen it, is Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo, of course. One thing that's worth noting, and I think I mentioned this when we talked about the trailer, I've noticed that they've simplified their looks quite a bit from the first movie. They're not wearing all that weird armor and stuff anymore. They've really toned them down, and I like that.
Yeah, very good.
We've also got Splinter, and then we've got a couple variants. We've got a Leonardo wearing some sort of like cloak thing. We've got Pirate Michelangelo for some reason. We've got Raphael that's wearing like a wingsuit. I don't. That very well could be in the movie.
Yeah. No extra Donatello.
Yeah, no extra Donatello. And I'll tell you, I know why. I know exactly why. Playmates has gone on record saying that even since the original toy line in the 80s, Donatello has always been the least selling character.
Really?
Yep. They say number one has always been Leonardo.
Well,
number two has always been Raphael. Number three has been Mikey. Number four is Donnie. As far as
Mikey's number three
behind Leo and
I thought Mikey would have been number one by double.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Leo's apparently number one.
8-year-old me disagrees because 8-year-old me had every Donatello.
Yeah, Christina always liked Donatello a lot too. But I think that's why he gets the shaft a lot. He doesn't get as many action figures. It's always been that way. So poor Donnie. The Lion also gives us Casey Jones, which is our Stephen Amell figure.
Yeah.
We get Shredder. We get a foot soldier, which looks a lot more like a foot soldier this time around. Which is awesome. We got Bebop and Rocksteady, which I'm really excited about. They look awesome. But yes, the final figure on there is Krang in an android body.
Yep.
And I think we kind of speculated, because in the trailer we see like that portal or something opening in the sky and something's happening. So we assumed it was some sort of Dimension X thing.
And we've talked about that before just based on some of the footage and some of the other stuff we hear, that it sounds like they're going a lot in that direction of just recreating a lot of the old 80s stuff.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
I will say too, and I don't know what the scale's going to end up looking like, but just based on that picture, that Krang, even with the android body, looks pretty much exactly the same size as everybody. I mean, like a little bit taller than Rocksteady.
Yeah.
But more or less on scale with everybody else. So that'll be an interesting look if the brains are that much smaller and the suit is that much smaller.
Yeah, because their android body did always stand a lot taller than everybody else. So, but the line's probably in the 5-inch scale. And that is one thing with the Playmates toys, though. The figures don't tend to actually be scaled appropriately. Like, they kind of shrink some of the bigger guys down for the toys. It's kind of an issue that a lot of people have with them. So that may not actually represent his size.
No, it may not at all.
The other toy that's for this that has me really excited, which might also be a movie spoiler, we don't know for sure, but the playset that's coming out for this line is the Technodrome, or a movie version of the Technodrome. Yeah. But it looks like a big sphere, like the old one. It doesn't appear to have the eye on top. They might be handling it different. Maybe it'll be more like the Nick.
Well, it's kind of cut off
from
the picture that we're looking at too here.
That's true. But it looks like a big old playset for your Turtles, and I'm always a big fan of that. So
now, in my memory, the original Technodrome I thought was bigger looking than this one.
Yes, this does look smaller.
Yeah, but
it looks a little smaller.
It still looks pretty cool. And again, you almost have to assume it's movie spoiler. Like, if that's one of the big toy releases, you'd think it has to have something to do with the movie. However, I mean, we don't know if they don't have anything else to put out there, or if they're mixing in some sort of retro line. Like, we can't be positive about any of this.
Right, absolutely.
Or it could very easily be, you know, the Technodrome and Krang show up in the last 5 minutes of the movie and lead you right into the third one or something.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we should not necessarily get our hopes up for, but
it looks like we're getting some cool toys out of it, so that's all
nothing else.
Sweet. Yeah, I definitely thought that was worth bringing up and thought it'd be fun to throw that out there for anybody who hasn't seen them yet. But yeah, I mean, I'll be at Toy Fair in a couple weeks here, so there's a nice plug for my coverage. And I will probably be getting to look at all this stuff up close.
That won't be at Toy Fair.
Personal. John won't be at Toy Fair. We tried to get John out there
this year.
We tried.
Where do they do that at?
The New York. Center? It's at the Javits Center.
Is that the one on the Hudson?
It's right on the Hudson.
That's where they do the Comic-Con one there.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that building is insanely big, but it's very cool. All right. Very cool. So there's some Turtle stuff. Looking forward to that. I want to do a little bit more toy talk before we move into the rest of the show.
This one,
I've kind of been, I don't know, I almost feel like this is something I've been wanting to get off my chest for a while. So we're going to throw it out there here on the podcast.
Do it, buddy. This show's like therapy.
That's right. So we're going to talk about Star Wars toys. And specifically, I want to talk about the new main character from The Force Awakens, Rey, who is, I love Rey. Love her. Are you eating the candy just watching me waiting for this? Okay. So, I don't know if you guys have seen it specifically, because you don't follow the toy stuff quite as closely as I do, but any of the toy guys out there are probably very well aware of this situation going on right now. There's been a trending topic, one of those hashtags, a big movement that's been going on in the past couple weeks. That's hashtag Where's Rey. And the basis behind this is that there's not enough Rey action figures out there, or there's no Rey action figures out there, and that's a shame because she's the main character in the film. So why isn't Hasbro releasing her? And, of course, there's a lot of talk about them pushing Finn over Rey, and why would they be doing that? Is it because she's a female? Is that the issue here? So it's been a big thing. All these news outlets are picking up the story. They're posting all of this stuff. And so I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like this is a great opportunity to kind of educate anybody who may not really be quite as involved in the toy industry or understand how the toy industry works. Also, I'm having real issue with it because, as you can see with my little display that I've set up here,
if
you're watching the video, if you guys are listening to the audio version, you're missing this nice little display I have here. But sitting in front of me, I have several Rey action figures that I have bought at retail. I've bought every single one of these figures at a retail store since September till now. Most of these figures were released in September. But for anybody who's listening that might want to just hear the options that you have for buying Rey in action figure form, I have several from Hasbro alone. I have the basic 3¾-inch figure. I have the super articulated 3¾-inch figure. I have Rey with her speeder from the film, which is her vehicle. She comes packaged with it. I have the larger 6-inch figure from the Black Series. I have the die-cast metal Elite Series figure, which is exclusive to the Disney stores. I have this awesome Rey action figure that's built out of Legos that Lego has released. And then I have the Funko Pop vinyl version. So, I mean, count these out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's at least 7 Rey action figures that are available at retail stores that you can just go out and buy. And I think that's my biggest issue with this whole thing, because all of these news articles that are posting the Where's Rey stories are posting these stories acting like there are just absolutely no Rey toys out there whatsoever. They're acting like she's getting the complete shaft, and that's just not necessarily the case. Now, I want to reiterate here that I'm not really against this whole movement in a sense, because I understand where they're coming from. There's a very old school mentality in the toy business where when they make a line of action figures that is geared towards boys, little boys don't like to play with action figures of women, so they don't make as many women action figures. And the problem, that's a real problem. That really does exist. Now, I will say it's gotten a lot better in the past several years, but it does still exist. A lot of toy companies have a tendency to not make as many of females. There's a perfect example on store shelves right now. Mattel has just released their Batman versus Superman toy line. And part of this isn't necessarily the woman problem. Part of it's a Batman problem too. But if you look at their, if you look at the toys for Batman versus Superman, 90% of the figures on the shelves are Batman. You know, 9% is Superman, and then 1% is Wonder Woman. Like that's how bad the case ratios are for that. I mean, she's severely short packed. Batman is overpacked because Batman's always overpacked. Everybody always thinks everybody needs Batman everything. Yeah. So
40 different colors of the suit.
Right, exactly. So that is a real problem that's out there, but I don't feel like it's a problem that Hasbro necessarily has. A great example in Hasbro's defense is with their Marvel Legends line currently. They have released more female superheroes in the Marvel Legends line than I think I have ever seen. And they've been getting real obscure with that stuff, too.
Yeah, they released some I've never heard of.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. And the great thing about those is, I mean, you can pretty much walk in any store and you can find these figures on shelves. I mean, they're not short-packed by any means. They're mm-hmm. putting them out there. So I really do feel like they're doing a pretty decent job with the Rey thing. Now, this whole thing kind of started, I think, the biggest thing that really pushed this was there was a little girl who apparently shortly after seeing the film, she became a big fan of Rey because of course she did. Why wouldn't she? You know, awesome lead in the movie, strong female character, somebody for her to look up to. She got the new kids Star Wars Monopoly game from Hasbro. And this particular game only has 4 playing pieces in it. It's got Finn, it's got Kylo Ren, Darth Vader, and Luke Skywalker. So she was a little upset, a little disappointed that she didn't get a Rey figure, and that's totally understandable. I get that. You know, coming from her, she wanted to see a Rey piece. And she actually put out this very adorable open letter to Hasbro, basically saying that, you know, she was disappointed that there was no Rey figure in there. It was her favorite character in the movie. She thinks that she should have a representation in there. And Hasbro actually openly responded, and this is what I thought was great, because this is something you don't see a lot from toy companies, but they openly responded to her letter and said that the reason that Finn was included instead of Rey is because this game came out in September for Force Friday, and they were avoiding spoiling big plot points in the movie. And that they would be reissuing a new version of the game with a Rey piece included now. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
well, the issues here is that as soon as that story broke, all of these media outlets immediately started hammering on the Where's Rey bandwagon, accusing Hasbro of being sexist, accusing Hasbro of not making any Rey toys whatsoever, which is wrong. Like I said, she's out there. And I think the real issue with it is when you try to point out the fact that Hasbro is doing something about it, you get met with this immediate hatred, where people are saying, well, I walked into a store and couldn't find one. Okay, well, let's logically think about that for a minute. You can't always just walk into a store and find exactly what action figure you're looking for. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is nowadays for sure. Also, let's remember that Star Wars The Force Awakens was a massive blockbuster success that came out at Christmas time when it's already very hard to find action figures anyway because everybody's buying them up for Christmas. So maybe you couldn't find Rey when you're out shopping, but I guarantee she's not the only figure that was hard to find. I promise you. And I promise you it's not because she's being short-packed, because she is out there. The other thing that I've seen is that people are saying, well, now Hasbro's backtracking and they're rushing into production and they're pushing all these Rey figures out there because of us, because we rose up and we're doing this Where's Rey thing. That is also not necessarily the case. With the board game, I promise you that was already in production. They're not doing that as a response to this. I believe what they said, what they wrote. They said that, you know, they were avoiding a spoiler in the movie. And that's totally logical when it comes to stuff like this, especially something as big as Star Wars. When Lucasfilm came to all of their licensors with the Force Awakens property, they told all of the toy companies that Finn was the main guy. And that's why when Force Friday came about, you saw Finn holding that lightsaber on every sign. Mm-hmm. Lucasfilm purposely did this because they didn't want to spoil the big plot point with Rey in the movie. And it makes total sense if you think about that. And the fact that it takes nearly a year from, like, you know, coming up with the idea for a toy, going through the sculpting and the design process and then the soliciting and then actually putting it out. You know, it's not something that Hasbro can just wave a magic wand and all of a sudden put new Rey toys in the store next month. This is like a year-long process making a toy that can actually, you know, be put in stores. So there's just all these little bits and pieces and gears in motion. And I promise you, it has nothing to do with a lack of them wanting to put it out there. Part of the reason is that they couldn't at first because of that embargo, basically, not spoiling anything. But also, there is plenty of Rey product out there. And I think that's just my biggest thing. And I get really upset because I saw sites like The Nerdist, who's like a big, big site right now. It's popular. It's, you know, it's supposed to be like an actual trusted source.
People who should know better.
Yeah. They put out this story last week that says Rey toys are finally coming. And they were referencing these solicitations that Hasbro put out where in the next wave, there's a new Rey action figure that's based on her her outfit that she was wearing at the very end of the movie. We already knew that figure was coming, first of all. We hadn't seen pictures of it. But if anybody paid attention to early solicitations for the stuff that they put out there, we knew that figure was coming. Also, that's not the first Rey action figure that they've released. And I hate that the Nerdist worded this entire story. They were like, finally, Hasbro's doing this. Finally. Guys, they're not doing it finally. They have been doing it. And as we go on, we're going to see more and more and more and more product because that's just the way this works.
Mm-hmm. So, also, for anybody who's paid attention to Star Wars toys over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
If there's an outfit in the movie, they make toys about it. You know, that's why there were 47 different Lukes, and every time you saw him in Return of the Jedi, he was wearing different clothes,
how many,
so they could do stuff like that.
You know how many Amidala action figures got made during the prequel era? All those different dresses and everything that she wore?
Yeah,
there's
my
a
own
figure
half of
all of them. Yeah.
I remember watching that a few weeks ago, being like, she's in a different dress.
Every scene.
As a short aside.
That's Lucas. Cha-ching!
As a short aside, I think that's hilarious because we'll talk about this more in depth later, but one of the George Lucas going crazy moments over the last couple of weeks, he was mentioning how, you know, he thought the Force Awakens was very similar to the old ones in a negative way, apparently. And he was saying he always tried to make his movies different, and it was always different ships and different planets and whatever. Like, George, that wasn't creative. You were trying to sell toys. You were a master at it. You did a good thing. But don't, like, look down on, you know.
Right.
But as far as this stuff goes, I mean, that is exactly it. We all come at this movie now that we've seen it and most people love it. Now it's like, well, here it is, and we know what it all is, and so we just expect this stuff to all be there.
Yeah.
But you remember Force Friday, you know, and I don't get into the toy stuff nearly as much as you, but I was there with you that night, and we were all looking around at all that stuff. We didn't know anything about these characters. We didn't know anything about this movie.
Right.
we didn't want to know any of this stuff. Exactly. We were kept going the whole time, like, why isn't there any Luke stuff? Well, they're not doing any of the old people until... And you know why they didn't do any of the old people? Because they didn't want anybody to know that Luke was only in one scene. You know, yeah. Like, they didn't want to give any kind of... Yeah. Spoiler alert, by the way. They didn't want to give any kind of...
We're beyond that at this point.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now.
Indication. Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, you deserve it. It's over a month out. Yeah. But there was no indication for a lot of that stuff. So like you said, you can't just flip that switch come December 18th and then all of a sudden everything's out. Because you're also not trying to hold spoilers back from, you know, the people who were there opening night. You're trying to hold them back from those first several weeks of stuff.
Right.
And trust me, if Hasbro thought they could have sold, you know, like if they had nefarious... intent.
Yeah.
They could have sold a lot more toys by putting a lot of this stuff out
there. That's exactly it. Yeah. Like, if you really think about it, if Hasbro was purposely not putting this stuff out there, they're costing themselves money.
Yeah.
They are not in a position to cost themselves money. Like, they want that money. They want you to buy all these toys. If they could have put a Rey holding an awesome lightsaber on store shelves in September, they absolutely would have. But they didn't. They probably didn't even know specifically that that was happening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? That's another thing to think about. Hasbro can only make what they're told is coming and they can make, you know, and so whatever designs they're given.
It's also a pretty well-known thing in the toy world that when there's a toy line based on a movie that's coming out, usually the first wave, sometimes even the first two waves of the toy line, don't necessarily mesh up with what's in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's because they are designing these toys based off of the preliminary information that the studios are giving them.
And that's taking us right back to the leaked TMNT stuff and what we're saying. We don't know for sure that this stuff means anything.
Right.
You know, but that's exactly the same. I mean, that one conversation melds right into the other because... The other thing is, if you have all of this stuff in production already, if they had Rey in her final outfit with a lightsaber packed, you know, ready to go and just locked and loaded for release on December 20th or whatever, then you get these leaks.
Exactly.
Then you get the more information is out there, the bigger the chance that somebody's going to send it out. And they were very respectful about the property in not doing that, and I don't think we should be chastising them for it.
That's,
you know,
exactly.
You're attacking one of the good guys, and that's the problem. And again, if you want to be upset because of a lack of diversity with female characters or any other thing in toy lines, you can be, but don't go after the people who aren't at fault. You should be celebrating the people who are doing it right.
That's kind of how I feel, too. Yeah. And I think that's, like, my ultimate, like, message that I'm really trying to get across here is that, you know, I am all for there being a much larger representation of female characters in toy lines. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a boys line or whatever they want to consider it. You know, I feel like toys are toys, you know, and if I personally never had any issues with that. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted the April O'Neils.
Yeah,
I wanted She-Ra. I wanted these characters. So, you know, I don't think that this really should be a thing. Now, they claim that there's indication that the girl figures really don't sell as well as the boys. Whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
I guess if you really want to believe that, but
well, that could easily be a chicken and egg thing too.
It could be.
I mean, do they not sell as well because people don't want them, or do they not sell as well because they're not available?
Because they're harder to find.
Yeah,
and that's always been the big argument with it, I think. So, so I absolutely support that the toy company should be making, especially when they're important characters like this. But I think that we need to focus that cause to the areas where it's an actual problem and not focus it where there isn't really an issue. Like, there's an issue at hand here.
Think of the side issue here, like that game you were talking about.
Yeah.
When it came out with those four pieces, two of the old, two of the new, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The big bad of the old and you know, what we thought was the main good guy of the new, you know, makes perfect sense. Now, that was a bit of a swerve there, but what if they had included Rey instead of...
That's what I was just about to bring up.
You know, then you're hitting another diversity topic there, which can actually lead us into some of the stuff we're going to talk about next, because then you've put the white woman in, but you've left the black guy out.
Yeah, I mean, it could swing either way at that point, so you're almost... Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, point being, like attack things that are actually bad.
Yeah.
Attack things with bad intentions. Right. Don't go after stuff because it wasn't 100% perfect, because what was their other option?
Yeah.
You know, and they had to cut someone out.
And look, then the biggest thing behind all this that will help with all of this, when you see all of these news stories and everything, posting all this stuff online, you see people sharing this stuff, do some research before you share that story and immediately get enraged or outraged. I think that's just the that's obviously one of the biggest problems with the internet today. Online journalism is practically a joke now because they're all about putting these titles out there as clickbait because they want you to click on their article. So they're going to say the most outrageous sounding stuff they possibly can in the title so that you click on the article, get mad, and then share that article. So when you see stuff like this, before you go out of your way to get too upset, do a little bit of checking first. Fact check it. Make sure it's something that you really believe in before you spread it around. I think it's something we can all work on. And and we can just, you know, we can make this all work a little bit better. And then we can actually get things accomplished.
Yep. And stop rewarding outrageous headlines.
Yes, we need
to
stop.
With no content.
We absolutely need to stop rewarding the clickbait sites. It's
bad. Of all the diversity issues that are going on right now, we have what is currently, I think, the third biggest movie ever and racing past at least number two and hopefully to getting to number one. You know, one of the biggest movies of all time and two of the leads are an African-American and a female.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's great.
He's British, you know, actually.
Well, okay, that's true. I probably misquoted that. You're right. I believe he is British.
He is
so.
British, yes.
But point being, a black guy and a girl are the leads in the
She's
biggest...
Ryan. All right, let's quit picking nits now. Ryan.
Diversity good.
Diversity good.
We're the Mike and
Ike. Well, that is really great. And I've actually seen some of those memes online, and they kind of make me chuckle because, like, they say things like, Hollywood says a movie will never be successful with a woman or a black man as a lead, and then it shows like a picture of Finn and Rey, and I was like, "That's actually pretty cool."
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
think about that.
Well, but
like,
you know, the
awesome.
Problem is like it also highlights just the leaning towards negativity of everything.
That's
you know?
True.
We're about
that's
to get into
true.
The Oscar talk and talk about some of that stuff, but there's already the you know complaining about everyone's complaining because there are no black actors nominated, male or female, in the. Okay, some the internet is complaining about this, and no one is bothering to stop and say, hey, there's this huge movie out right now where this isn't a problem. Nobody's praising Star Wars, you know. For every one article I can find that says, hey, a good thing is happening, I can find 20 that are trying to tear something down for doing it wrong.
I know.
Why can't we celebrate what? The things that are doing well.
It's negative. The negativity, man. And that's the problem, you know. Drama sells, negativity. I mean, people like to be mad about things. People like to feel like they have a cause. And I don't know. It's
awful.
That's
it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hate that. You know, I hate the drama. I hate the negativity. I don't understand why we can't celebrate.
Yeah, it's supposed
the
to be entertaining.
That, yeah.
So be happy about some stuff.
Exactly. So that's all I got to say about that. So we can go ahead and move right into your Oscar talk now.
And we'll keep it fairly brief, but the nominations came out just the other day. And, I mean, again, the controversy surrounding it, quote-unquote, right now, is that, you know, there's 20 major acting award nominations, and zero of them have gone to anybody. I think not only are they all non-black, I think they're all just white people.
Yeah,
I believe, and I think that's kind of where the hashtag Oscar so white. And I don't remember all the nominations, but
the
is there anybody?
Director, he's Mexican.
Well, we're talking about acting.
Oh, acting.
Acting.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And so there is a lot of complaining out there about that. I don't have a strong stance on it yet because I haven't seen a lot of the movies people are talking about.
Right.
So we'll talk about that more over the next couple of months. What I do want to hit on real quick is the few things that you do see. Immediately, everybody says, well, why wasn't Will Smith nominated for Concussion? I haven't seen Concussion. I heard several reviews of Concussion before the nominations came out. I never heard one that made it sound like it was Oscar-worthy or that Will Smith did anything particularly special. I've heard some complaining about Idris Elba not being nominated. I more tend to believe that, but I haven't seen Beast of No Nation either.
Mm-hmm.
I will soon because I have Netflix. There's no reason I haven't yet
other than
time. But I think that's as easily attributed to Hollywood not being ready to accept Netflix, you know, in their Oscar run.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I could see that
for sure. And so the point I'm trying to get to, which is one that I heard George Clooney say fairly eloquently, and I don't always agree with everything George Clooney says out loud, I mean, but this one I can go with is, like, this isn't necessarily an Oscar problem. This is as much, if anything, a Hollywood problem because there aren't that many lead roles or strong characters for minorities to take. So it's not the problem that, well, we had this huge pool of non-white actors we could have chosen from to bestow these nominations on. It's that there's not really anybody to choose from.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just listed two of a very small pool of people who could have even been in contention.
So it sounds like it's almost exactly what we were saying. It's another it's another case where we are blaming the wrong source.
Yeah.
Like everybody is real quick to get mad at the Oscars when in turn they should be petitioning to change Hollywood's ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha.
And the Oscar voting is different when they vote for the nominations. If you're an actor and you're a part of the Academy, you can only, for the nominations, you can only vote for actors.
Okay.
So,
so it's other actors who put all these nominations in.
Are nominating actors.
Okay.
Producers nominate films.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
You know, I've heard, I think you've told me that before, but it's one of those things that I always just kind of forget.
So when people get upset and they're like, oh, they didn't nominate this director, it's like, well, her peers...
Yeah.
Or his peers didn't nominate
them. Well, but again, everybody just gets blindly mad at the Academy or the Oscars or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there is a certain cast of people making these decisions. Nobody bothers to investigate. I mean, myself included, like I said right there, that was a fact I knew and forgot. But nobody goes and says, well, how does this system work? And where and why is it broken? And can we fix that? They just start lobbing complaints at a faceless blob, you know, and trying to get their voice heard. But when you're just talking to something that doesn't exist, there's nothing there to hear you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Craziness.
We can go over some of the nominees real quick, the big ones at least. And again, we'll talk more about this in future episodes.
Okay.
As I've seen more of the movies.
Yeah.
This is always the time of the year where I go, okay, now I know what to watch.
Yeah.
So I can really get started with it. But the best picture, only 8 of them this year. They can have up to 10, but they've only got 8. It's The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. And I think I've seen 3 of those.
But not The Room.
Not The Room, no.
Dang it!
No, not the Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, hi,
classic.
Mark!
Which, if you listen into this before, I think the 31st, their AMC or Fathom Events is replaying the Riff Tracks version of The Room.
I want to go watch it again.
In about 10 days here. I think it's the 31st of January, I believe, but double check that.
I'm going to take Christina
yeah,
this time.
If you guys haven't seen that, go see it. It was
You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
I got, when I read out, because I had never heard of Room, so I read the nominations and there was a second where I was like, oh! Okay, wait, no, I'm not in the Twilight Zone.
Oh, hi, Oscars.
Overall, I'd say a halfway decent list. I have become fairly numb to Oscar nominations, especially in the last few years. Like, a lot of times when I do see the list that comes out, it's just stuff I'm not terribly excited about. This one, I will say, going through, there's nothing I'm wholly opposed to seeing. I'm not super excited about seeing The Revenant again.
It's kind of cool that Mad Max is on there.
Yeah, Mad Max, I think, is the big win. I've seen 3 of these. The Revenant was the only one. And I didn't hate it by any means, but it was not as impressive as I was led to believe. And it's mostly just really long.
Yeah.
And not a lot happens. It's one of those one-man show types.
Gotcha.
It's a lot of just Leo in the woods being cold.
Oh, okay.
You know, and like, well, he's really good at acting.
He's very good at telling me
he's
cold.
So I guess he's fine, yeah. But mostly he's just being miserable on camera, you know.
Okay.
But my biggest problem with Best Picture, and this will be me in butthurt nerd mode.
Awesome.
I guess.
Here we go.
it is, I have never won to associate most money made in a year with Best Movie of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm never one. I would never have been one to predict that The Force Awakens could have actually nabbed a Best Picture like win by any means. But there's a continuation of a 40-year-old franchise that is universally loved by critics, universally loved by audiences, and making more money than anything in years and years, possibly anything ever. When the dust settles, you can't tell me that it's not one of the 10 most remarkable movies of the year.
Mm.
Why in the world is Star Wars not in there just as a courtesy nod, if nothing else?
I'm going to back
seriously.
That because Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm behind it.
But honestly, like even from a film perspective, you can't say you're celebrating movies and then only celebrate like the artistic side. There has got to be an entertainment portion to it. And again, I'm not saying we need to turn the Oscars into a money contest by any means. But it's not just, it's not like we're talking about a Transformers movie that happened to make the most money that year.
Yeah.
This is a big cultural movement and event, and it's got the arbitrary two or three music and special effects nominations, and that's it. Is a little bit absurd to me. Again, I would have never expected it to win. You at least should probably acknowledge that movies, it's a big event in movies, mm-hmm. you know? So
I agree.
Seems silly to me. And again, we don't have to waste. I was going to kind of go over the actors and stuff too, but that's 20 of them, so we might as well. We can wait for a different time.
I'm sure we'll come back to it for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it probably every podcast between now and the end of February. So this one and the next podcast.
Nice. The next one, yeah. Are you working on the Oscars, Ryan?
No, thank God.
No?
No,
I was about to tell everybody that you were the guy to blame.
That's right.
Hashtag blame Ryan. Let's start that movement.
Okay. I don't know.
Acting.
Awesome.
So.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump from the Oscars to talking about some new movie news. And I figured we'll go ahead and kick things off with the big news that just happened right before we started recording, which is all of this new DC stuff. Lots of new DC movie news, with the biggest being the debut of the full-length Suicide Squad trailer.
They did a special on the CW in correlation with the return of Flash and Arrow, and I think the debut of Legends of Tomorrow is going to probably be, it's this week sometime,
mm-hmm.
But in correlation with all their shows coming back from the mid-season break, they did a special on the CW that was just basically an expose on all of the DC films that are kind of coming out. So we actually got new Wonder Woman footage.
We got
the Suicide Squad trailer. We got some quote-unquote new Batman versus Superman footage. I think there was 3 minutes of footage, and I think 10 seconds of it might have been stuff we haven't seen, you know?
Yeah.
So not a whole lot. They didn't have any footage, obviously, but they did a little bit more open discussion on, hey, you know, the Green Lantern Corps exists, and here's their comic book origin. So they just kind of traversed the DC universe and gave us little tidbits here and there. But the biggest by far being that Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah, well, that's kind of neat that they did that little special. It's almost like it feels like they're trying to educate
the
public.
And they had, they had, it was hosted by Kevin Smith and another guy.
Some guy. Kevin Smith and some guy.
But it's always, you know, like, Kevin Smith likes DC movies a lot more than I like DC movies. So.
Kevin Smith is easy to please. Kevin Smith likes everything.
Yeah.
And I can't even fault him for that.
No, not a
attitude.
Knock at all.
You know what I mean?
That was going to be about my point. Yeah. I love Kevin Smith. So even if we disagree about our excitement levels, it's cool to see him do this stuff. Because I want to see someone who's up there and just fanboy juiced about it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's the right man for the job.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so let's talk about Suicide Squad a little bit. We saw that little teaser trailer that leaked out after Comic-Con, which didn't give us a whole lot. So this was like a full-on movie trailer.
Yeah.
And I will say that it's getting some pretty positive buzz online. Like, I feel like this has gotten the most positive buzz I've seen out of any of the DC movie stuff so far. And, you know, so much so that I'm seeing a lot of people, like, specifically saying, oh, finally DC's making something I want to watch. Finally DC's making something that looks good. You know, like, I'm seeing a lot of that. So it obviously, like, what they were going for worked, I think, because it seems like the majority of people are very happy with it.
It's got people interested and excited.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Meh.
Ryan gives it a meh.
I didn't care about this to begin with, so I'm not the one to judge.
You're not the one to judge?
Yeah.
I mean,
No. Anything you did like in it?
No.
Nothing?
I just don't have any interest whatsoever.
No interest in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, the only interesting character I would go for would probably be Rick Flagg, but I think they're just kind of, like, tossing him aside.
So are you going to watch this movie?
I'll see it once.
You'll see it once.
Unless it's awesome.
Unless it's awesome. That's what I'm saying.
Or unless you hear it's total garbage, I guess. Could go either way.
Sure. You'll have to just listen to our podcast to find out when we're
here. I'm going to wait for
her. I wish I was excited as everybody else. And again, I mean, my view on this movie hasn't changed. It's an awesome concept. I hope they do it well. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. Very hesitant about it. Nothing in that trailer really changed that for me. There's just some things. I wish I knew a better way to describe it, because if I go scene by scene or character by character, there's nothing I really didn't particularly like
mm-hmm.
outside of the Leto Joker look. But we've talked about that 100 times.
Yeah.
There's nothing that stood out that said, well, that's stupid. But when I watch the trailer as a whole, something I cannot pinpoint just feels off. And I was saying, I think I was saying to probably both of you guys earlier, I feel like almost like it was trying to be like people who were, it was like the straight man trying to tell jokes almost.
Okay.
Like, I related it to being like a reverse spoof film almost. Like, sometimes they take serious movies and they give it to the Wayans brothers or whoever, and then you get this movie that's just absolutely turned on its ear absurd.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they were like, hey, here's this wacky concept that's kind of zany and really outside the box. Let's give it to some people without any personality and see what they put on film, you know? And it's not like it's not quite that drastic because there's some stuff I think they were doing right. I mean, I think I like Harley from what I can tell so far. I like the looks of several of the characters. They didn't really give us a lot of personality on anybody but her, so I can't really say. I don't know much about Captain Boomerang. I didn't realize he was such a psychopath.
I don't either. And he's a Flash villain, right?
I think so,
he's one of Flash's big villains. Well, and that's always kind of the thing, too. And I'm that way with DC in general. There's a lot of these guys I'm not super familiar with beyond their name and their look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot that I just don't know about Suicide Squad in general, except, like, you know, I know who Deadshot is. I know who Harley is. Mostly I know all the people who have crossed paths with Batman. and that's about, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of as far as my knowledge
goes. You're part of the problem, Dave.
I am part of the problem. I'm going to go to the store right after this and buy 20 Batman figures.
But that's the thing. Like I said, they didn't really. They gave us a little bit of Harley personality, and I dug it. They seemed to give us a little bit of Boomerang, and I didn't know what to think either way. And other than Will Smith had a couple of action scenes that looked pretty cool, they didn't really give us a lot of him. So
yeah, that's the thing.
From a character-by-character perspective, I don't have a lot to go on from that trailer. I just have an overall feel for the movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was going in kind of three different directions. You know? Like, it's goofy, but it's also kind of hardcore, but it also wants to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
It had that vibe, didn't it?
I just wasn't sure how to feel by the time it was done.
That's what I feel like. The Queen song, you know, they used Bohemian Rhapsody, and I liked that. I thought that was a really cool touch, but it totally gave me the Guardians of the Galaxy feel. Like, I felt like that's what they were going for. Yeah. Remember, like, you know,
And I guarantee that's what they were going
for. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think back to that first Guardians trailer where they did the Blue Suede or whatever song. Yeah, and it feels so similar to that.
Yeah.
But that's... I mean, I think that's them kind of being a little smart. I think they're kind of trying to play to that audience, you know?
Is it smart? Maybe it is. Or is it just simply unoriginal? And that's kind of DC's problem always.
Kinda,
we know this thing works, so let's hammer this thing as hard as we can.
That's true.
So is it just
sure.
more of that?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
That's why I'm scared.
Well, there's a lot in the trailer that I liked, too, and I feel like the more I've watched it, the more I've kind of picked up on and said, okay, this looks kind of fun, and I do feel like that. I feel like there's a lot of things in that trailer that look fun, and so I will say that I'm a little more excited to see how this one plays out than I am, like, Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is just because I don't really know what to expect with this. And I'm kind of excited to see DC do something that's not Batman and Superman. Now, obviously...
Except they're still Batman.
Obviously. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's in this, isn't he?
In there.
Never mind. Yeah. Scratch everything I just said. I forgot. I like, but they are doing something a little more crazy than we've ever seen DC do before.
Yeah.
I mean, all these characters in this movie, we've never seen them do that with one of their films before.
No, not at all.
You know? So it does seem like that they're trying to actually build a little bit more of a universe by including these characters than we've really seen them do yet, I think.
I still sometimes get the thought in my head, too. Like, I remember when they first were announcing this movie as a possibility or first putting it on the slate, but they were putting... I mean, studios were putting Sinister Six movies on the slate and all sorts of wacky stuff that you never expect to see. And so I kind of always had that, well, that's an awesome idea, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And now even when I sit here and watch a trailer for it and I know it comes out in like 8 months, I still go, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
You know, maybe. Maybe that movie's real.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like, I kind of have the same feeling, though, and that's kind of what I was getting to. Like, it's funny, you said that earlier to me, that you felt like, individually looking at the scenes in the movie, there's nothing that you disliked, but the trailer as a whole, something felt off. And like, until you put that in words, I kind of realized that I was feeling that exact same way. Like, there's nothing in there I can specifically look at and go, that looks stupid or that looks awful. Like, I think there's a lot in there that looks fun. But I honestly feel that the DC movie universe in general and our total lack of faith in WB is what's hurting our enjoyment of this.
Yeah,
I really, really do. Like, cause I'm at a point now where admittedly I've gotten so cynical towards DC and their movie universe. It's gotten to the point where we just have so much fun making fun of it that they put out a trailer that could possibly be good. And I'm still like, ugh. Screw DC and their movie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like I almost have like this immediate reaction and I have to stop myself and go, what? Hold on. Don't be that guy. Like, don't immediately dismiss this just because DC, yeah. You know? So
it looks 1,000 times better than Worst Fantastic Four.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not
true.
Going crazy with my negativity.
Thanks,
or anything.
Ryan. Hashtag blame Ryan.
Why are we out of Mike and Ike's?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Let's talk about Leto's Joker again real quick, though. Yeah, so I will say that in that trailer, that is still the one thing that every time he shows up, I'm just like, I'm not feeling this. I'm not buying it. But if we want to play devil's advocate a little bit here, let's talk about some of the positives. Joker is the brightest, most colorful-looking character in the DC movie universe so far. And I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. We got to see a little bit more of his character in this than we've seen yet, and it's looking like it's going in the right direction. Like, I kind of like, you know, the laugh sounded good.
Still, like, you can't tell where he's coming from.
Yes.
Because he's not in prison with the others, it doesn't look like, and I can't tell if he's with them or against them or what's going on.
You know what? I'm wondering if it's, if all the Joker stuff we're seeing or all the Joker Harley stuff is all, like, flashbacky stuff.
Yeah.
I'm almost wondering if that's what we're going to get out of Joker in this movie is nothing but flashbacky stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, if we kind of get, I don't know how this movie is going to be laid out, but if we kind of get a lot of focus on some of these main characters and how they ended up in their position, maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to give us a little bit of a Harley backstory and include Joker
stuff.
What
if it's like such, what if it's so small of a part where he just comes like to break her out at some
point? I don't know.
And that's it.
Or, I mean, like you say, what if his entire role is just the flashback of how she got caught?
Could be.
That could be, too.
Yeah,
that could be.
Never
yeah.
That.
So, we really have no idea yet. Like, yeah. I have no idea how this movie is going to play out. I don't know what the situation is. So,
well,
it'll be interesting.
Does this take place concurrent with Batman versus Superman? Timeline-wise, where does it lie?
I don't know.
Because they've had all that stuff in the Batman versus Superman trailers where they talk about Joker.
Yeah.
Past tense
almost
a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. Like, obviously, Joker and Batman have already fought, and
we've
already seen this stuff. So is this before that? Is this after that?
Yeah.
I hope that they tell us. I hope that there's something that kind of lays out a timeline for us. I don't know exactly how the DC movie is going to go, but it already does seem like their movies are jumping around a little bit.
I have to assume when we see Batman versus Superman, there will be more on the Joker and whatever I mean, they can't show us...
I mean, he might as well be in that movie, too, since everybody else is.
Well, yeah, no kidding there. maybe Doomsday's a suit, and the Joker's riding him.
Joker driving a Doomsday suit?
Yeah.
I like it. I'm in. Now I want to see this movie.
Well, but, like, I mean, Bruce Wayne makes reference to not having good luck with guy freaks dressed like clowns.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
see the old Robin suit with the ha-ha-has. You know, you see the note or whatever that looks like it was written by the Joker. You see all that stuff. So that movie clearly references the character on numerous occasions.
Right.
So by the time that's over, we're going to have an idea of kind of where Suicide Squad comes in, unless, like you said, everything's in flashback.
I agree. Yeah.
Because we'll have to know something about, you know, is the Joker in jail? Did Batman kill him? Does he think he killed him? Does he show up at all? Any of that stuff. You know, some of those questions have to be at least addressed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess we'll know more in March.
You remember when they were shooting Suicide Squad? They had that online clip of like a Batman on top of his car and everything.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing to say that that isn't going to be in Batman vs Superman.
Oh my gosh.
They could have just shot it.
Oh, in
during
theory.
That. because Leather was there.
We don't. Well, no, we have no idea the context of that scene.
Yeah, in theory. Interesting. I always kind of thought it would be like the opening of Suicide Squad, but I didn't. Because I had I got the impression that it was him chasing those two, so he probably caught them, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, that could be flashback, it could be halfway through, it could be in the middle, it could be at the beginning, it could be anywhere. Or
we
like you
know
just said,
nothing.
It could be a totally different movie. That
we
that
have
scene
no
shows up
idea
in.
What's happening, but I don't know. I'm optimistic for sure. I'm optimistic. I'm not in love with it, but I certainly don't dislike it.
I think they have.
So I.
They have said that there's a Batman cameo in Suicide Squad, so in theory that's it. But, I mean, they're not above lying to us to keep secrets either.
We don't know.
I mean, DC's told us plenty of lies. Come see Green Lantern, it'll be fine.
That's the biggest lie they've ever told. Hey, did you know I'm watching Arrow now?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm almost through season two.
Yeah, season
2
is so good.
He sent me an email that was like, I finally started Arrow. I'm like 5 episodes in. I thought my head was going to explode.
Yeah.
Season 2 is so good.
So I'm really liking it, but I just thought this was just a relate
season
to everything.
Season 2 is so good.
So awesome.
Yeah. Well, he's really kind of getting into stuff where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But just to relate to what we're talking about, I thought it was really funny because the Suicide Squad trailer debuted online while I was watching the Suicide Squad episode of Arrow, and I just thought that was really weird.
This means something.
Yeah, right? But I really like their Suicide Squad and Arrow. I love the Harley cameo, the quick, fast Harley cameo. But I want to say, and I think I'm going back on stuff I've said in the past, but I've changed my mind. Now that I'm
allowed?
Yeah, I think it is allowed, right?
Cool.
Well, and I'm going to say this.
I've been wrong about a lot of stuff.
I'm going to say this. I'm spoiled by what Marvel's doing. But I have suddenly kind of like, I'm starting to take issue with the fact that the TV universe is different than the movie universe.
With DC?
Now, yeah. Now that I'm like so entrenched into Arrow and
like
I'm like loving these characters and then like, you know, the Suicide Squad trailer is the perfect example. Like Suicide Squad trailer comes out and there's a different person that's Amanda Waller and there's a different person that's Deadshot, a completely different person that's Deadshot, you know, and I'm watching this and now I'm going, you know, like I kind of wanted to be the same people I saw on TV.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. They want that TV flash in the movies.
Oh.
I'm like, just give it to me.
I know.
Get rid of that other kid. Sorry.
Yeah. So, and the reason I say I think I'm going back on what I said before is because I know
that TV flash is so good.
I know that we've had plenty of discussions.
Not even the show, just that kid.
Yeah.
I know we've had plenty of discussions in the past where we said that it's possible to do both.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want them to do both.
I don't
want it to all be the same.
I don't mind that it's separated. Yeah. It would be pretty cool if it wasn't. But that's kind of the same going on with like Supergirl right now.
Yeah.
You almost feel like it could be the Man of Steel universe, but at the same time, not at all. They're talking about trying to figure out a way to get her intermingled with Flash, at least, if not Green Arrow.
Yeah.
But they don't really know for sure. And that's all TV properties. It's just, and I think that one of the things I was reading they were saying is, a lot of things would have to come together. We don't know. Creatively, we'd have to figure it out. Because one of the guys was saying, like, honestly, it's been acknowledged in Supergirl several times that Superman exists.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we all of a sudden put her in a show with the Flash in a world where nobody's ever bothered to mention
everybody's
that there's
talked
a
about
flying
Superman.
Alien? You know, yeah.
Right.
That's,
you know,
that's
so, like,
a
how does
point.
That stuff, man? And that's you can always do alternate universe stuff, so it wouldn't be...
Oh, especially with the Flash.
It would almost be better to do it that way anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just the stuff you don't really think about with the intermingling. So I still don't have a problem with them doing it separately. My problem comes into play when they do things like all of a sudden when Arrow can't use established characters because there's going to be a movie version.
Yeah, that's what stinks. Because Deadshot, I think, is a example of that too, right? Didn't Deadshot kind of get pulled off that show? I heard that before I even started watching the show.
Yeah, I don't believe they'll be using Deadshot anymore after a certain point because of that. And then that gets much, much scarier because you've got this super popular Flash TV show that everybody loves, and you've got this...
Yeah, so what happens...
You've got this kind of, hey, don't mix these characters rule that comes about, so what happens when that Flash movie comes out and they decide they want to try to make a ton of money off of that?
I was going to say, what happens when the DC movie universe gets big and all these movies are out there and all these characters? That's going to really start hurting the shows.
Or it'll just arbitrarily end them because DC's short-sighted. One of the two. You know?
Well, I'm loving Arrow, and I'm, like, getting so excited to get to Flash, but I'm not going to start Flash until the proper point. Like, because I just got introduced to him in season two.
Yeah.
Barry and everything. I loved it. Yep. So,
I was about to ask if you'd gotten to those yet.
Yep. So I'm really excited. I'm really enjoying it. Christine and I both are hooked on it. Like, this is what we do every night. Like, I'm recording this podcast right now. I guarantee she's upset we're not watching Arrow. Because every night we put the kid to bed, we turn on Arrow until we go to sleep.
Is she as hooked on Arrow as she is on, say, Gilmore Girls?
I mean, it's pretty tough because Gilmore Girls is so good.
What's Gilmore Girls?
You've never heard of the Gilmore Girls?
Well, tell me about this Gilmore Girls.
Well, luckily we've reached the part of the podcast where we're going to talk about the Gilmore Girls. So
it's our favorite part.
It's our favorite part. It's one of the best shows ever created, and our friend Justin loves it.
He is a huge fan.
So we always bring it up every time.
Sense.
Just for him. Yeah. Just for him.
That's fan service. Ultimate fan service.
Ultimate fan service.
Because we're good people.
We love our listeners.
That's right.
We love. Well, let's talk about that Wonder Woman footage while we're at it. Very, very short clips, but they gave us more of Wonder Woman than we've ever seen before on this little special. So, what did you think of what we saw? Anything stand out to you?
Like, there's a lot of potential. I like it looks like a period piece, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of the
Captain
America treatment.
Yeah, and I don't know why that never crossed my mind that they would be doing stuff like this. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
So when I saw that it was a period piece, it almost like it boosted my interest level like a couple notches for some reason. Like,
how
suddenly
are they going to get Batman in there, though?
I don't think they even thought about that. How are they going to put Batman in this movie?
That's probably exactly the story when they came to pitch it.
No.
It's a period piece in the 50s. Yeah. Or was it? It's in the 40s.
Yeah.
How are you going to get Batman?
The movie starts with Batman going, "Hey, Diana, I've never heard your origin story."
Yes, exactly.
And then Wonder Woman's like, "Sit back, bats. Let me tell you all about it." And then flashback. And then so there we go. Boom. I just fixed it. Somebody called WB. I fixed that
movie. I was just thinking, you know, the WB executives were going, "Well, that's perfect because Batman's immortal." Yes. So he was there too.
He's been around.
I bet he could fly to that Amazon place.
Yeah.
I guarantee you somebody in that meeting said those exact words.
So she's the queen of free shipping?
She's from Amazon.com. I don't understand. She delivers books? Oh man, this is the best. Holy cow.
This is my favorite episode.
It's a cross of that first Cap movie.
Yeah.
And Thor.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh,
yeah.
Good
yeah.
call.
I can see
That's
that.
A great combination, actually. That. Yeah, so, I mean, we've seen very little, but I like what we've seen, and I hope.
Yep.
I would love and nothing I, more than there to be, like, a really awesome Wonder Woman
I know,
movie.
I know,
you know
shockingly
what I mean?
Little about, like, I know it's one of those things I reference all the time. I used to probably know a lot about Wonder Woman's origin. I don't remember any of it. So just the fact that they're kind of, I never would have thought period piece would be in the cards because I had totally forgotten any of that stuff was part of the history of it, you know?
Right.
So like you said, when they pop it up there and go, "Oh, by the way, it's in like the 40s. Oh, awesome. Cool.
Uh-huh.
Very neat.
Very cool. So I don't know. We got a lot to look forward to, I guess. A lot of stuff coming up. DC Universe. I mean, that movie is one of the next ones, right?
This could be your year, DC.
Could be. We'll see.
This could be.
We'll see how it goes.
Show us you can do it.
Please. Please show us. We want nothing more than good DC movies.
Oh.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump over to the greatest thing ever created, which is Marvel, and we love Marvel on this podcast, so let's talk about
Marvel.
Marvel
good, yay!
Marvel good, yay!
Can we change the podcast name to that?
To Marvel good, yay? Yeah, yeah, I like it.
It's
Marvel
kind of funny, because I've like listened for the past year. The Marvel has toned down.
It's toned down a bit.
We started this show, when it was like,
well, I think
we're just going to talk about Marvel.
We got called out a lot. People are like, "You guys are a bunch of Marvel fanboys." We were like, "We know."
Yeah. We've said that.
We agree with
our
your
show
statement.
Is called Marvel good, yay.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so
that's what you guys
I
get
guess
for.
It's your fault for listening.
That's what you get for listening to Marvel good, yay.
Marvel.
That's our first t-shirt. We're making that. Marvel good, yay.
I'm so excited. I want that shirt
now. We need somebody who's good at graphic design stuff to make us a Marvel Good Now logo.
Marvel Good Now.
and we'll print up t-shirts.
I'm so excited.
Oh my god, we're the best.
We'll send one to everybody for Christmas.
Everybody gets a Marvel good now. Okay, so let's talk about Netflix and Marvel, because there's been a lot of news on that
front. If
there's
anything I love almost as much as Marvel, it's Netflix.
Netflix is pretty great. Oh my god. I'm dying here. Okay. So we already knew that Daredevil Series 2 was greenlit, and it's coming very soon.
Yeah, March 18th. I think it's like the week before Batman's
Christmas. So it's the same time it came out last year, right?
I believe so.
I think
right
so.
Around
yep.
there, yeah.
Right after my birthday. It's going to be an awesome birthday gift. I'm excited for more Daredevil. but along those lines, we just recently got a couple bits of news on all of the Netflix shows. Number one, Jessica Jones has been renewed for a second season.
Yep, I don't think they've dated it yet, but we can assume probably later next year.
I love that. I'm so happy because I remember when all of these like first got announced, it was kind of set up as like, we're going to do Daredevil, we're going to do Jessica Jones, we're going to do Power Man, Luke Cage, and we're going to do Iron Fist, and then we're going to do this big crossover movie with them. And that was kind of all they laid out for plans.
Yeah.
But then Daredevil came out and it was amazing and it did so good. So they're like, boom, you get a second season. And now Jessica Jones. So then Jessica Jones came out and it was awesome. So they're like, boom, you get a second season. They're going like all Oprah on everybody.
I was about to say.
You get a second season. Everybody gets a second season.
Check under your seat, Jessica Jones.
So I was really excited by that because they totally set that up. And we talked about it when we reviewed the series. They ended that where it could have been a good, like, that could have been it. We didn't necessarily need to see it. It was a good ending to
that
show.
Well, that was that perfect, because they could have moved on into episodic storytelling, or they could have just never come back.
Exactly.
Either way, it was good.
But we're getting a second season, and I love that, because I really enjoyed the Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I finished it, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. So I was really happy to hear this news. I'm all on board for this.
Yep.
And I hope that the success and the quality of these shows continues, with Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
And again, usually, I mean, a lot of times, second seasons on shows like this are a lot better than the first because you get all of the arbitrary stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
And then you can just, especially with these shortened seasons, because you don't have 24 episodes to stretch out over and then really focus on the different parts of the story, you got to kind of get to it. So with, like, say, a first season of Daredevil, which was absolutely amazing, but you had to set everybody up.
Right.
And it took half of your season to really get everything in line, and then, you know, the story could kind of flow smoothly from there. Jessica Jones got into it a little bit quicker, but still you really got to figure out who these people are and what's going on before you get to it. When you get to season two, you got your full 13-episode run to just dive right into whatever story you're trying to tell and go. Now, I mean, they're going to add new characters. There's at least two big ones, minimum, in Daredevil. I would imagine probably more. There's going to be some surprises.
Oh, they've
got to
bring in more.
But you're getting at least Elektra and Punisher.
I would not be surprised if Bullseye is somewhere close.
I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't in there at some point.
Yeah, he's got to be coming.
Yeah. But, I mean, so there's new stuff to learn about, but still you don't have to set up, you know, your heroes and your villains and everything along the way. You can just kind of charge in. So there's no reason to not assume it's going to be at least as good.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm excited. But speaking of those new characters, the other bit of news that go right along with this is that it's already looking like Punisher is getting his own spinoff show. And I know that we had talked about that pretty much right away, like when they announced him. We were like, there's no reason why they shouldn't just do that. But from everything that all the reports are saying, I guess he's such a standout character in that show that the reaction to the early screenings of that season and everything are already just like pointing to him getting his own show, like, immediately. He's getting a spinoff series.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, there was some news last week. I think there was a big TV expo or something here this last weekend, and a lot of people thought that was supposed to be one of the announcements. When I read through the Netflix docket of announcements, I did not see that officially being said.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, I mean, if they're out there already saying, hey, we're pretty sure they're going to talk about this any time now, chances are the news is coming. It's just a matter of when.
Yes.
And I can easily see that being something they want to hold off on making official until after the series comes out. just in case, to make sure the audiences connect with them as much as you know, the people who have seen it do, and B, to not draw too much attention away from, I mean, you're marketing a Daredevil show.
Yeah.
So hold off on marketing the Punisher show until after after you're done
Daredevil season 2 will come out. That first week, it'll get amazing buzz because everybody will binge watch it, and once everybody's on that high, they'll go, boom, Punisher series, here it comes. That's exactly
middle of April, we'll have the announcement for Daredevil season 3 and the Punisher spinoff.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and I have heard somewhere along those news bits that Netflix has the pretty ambitious goal, not just Marvel related, but overall, of trying to get a new original series released every week of the year.
Whoa.
I believe it was, which sounds absolutely bananas.
That does sound bananas.
They're so diverse in the stuff they do, and not every Netflix original is actually produced by Netflix. Some of the stuff is just stuff they pick up.
Right.
And if you count the movies and stuff that they're moving into bigger and bigger in there, too, I can almost believe it. And on the one hand, it's way too much. On the other hand, like I said, it's not like it's a new Marvel show every week and a new, you know, must-watch every week. It's all spread across so demographically. You know, no one person's going to try to watch everything necessarily, so that just means the stuff I do want to watch is going to be coming faster and faster and faster. But if they are trying to get a new series off the ground once a week, I have no problems believing the idea that they could do a new, you know, they can have five different Marvel shows and still do a new one once every 2 months, and I don't have to wait, you know, 6 months to a year between between every show.
Now we're just getting greedy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Getting, that's where we started.
Yeah.
More Marvel, now. That's why they call it Marvel Now.
That is why they call it Marvel Now. Marvel yay, woo.
Marvel yay, woo.
Was that what we said?
I don't know.
We'll, I don't even remember
we'll
anymore.
We'll have to rewind this, and then somebody can make us shirts.
Marvel good yay.
Marvel good yay.
Woo. I thought there was a woo in there somewhere.
Marvel good yay is much better.
Woo.
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 So on the movie front, since the last time we sat down and talked, they revealed Doctor Strange's costume.
Yes.
We got to see Mr. Benedict Cumberbatch all Doctor Strange'd out.
So Sherlocky.
Oh my gosh!
I know. I think that's what they did. They saw him in the Sherlock coat with the collar up mirror there.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's
right?
him.
But I will say, like, I feel like that costume is one of the most comic book looking costumes that they've really, I mean, like, Marvel's done really good with all their stuff. Obviously, you can look at Iron Man and it looks like it jumped out of a comic book, but
right.
I don't know, like I almost wasn't expecting them to do that with Doctor Strange, but they did.
It's
like,
more remarkable because it's less expected.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's got the blue suit and the big red cape with the giant collar. I mean, it looks like a comic book Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with that.
But there's
no reason
not to if you're going to do all magical and mystical stuff.
Well, that's
then might as well go all in.
That's what we say, but that's not always what the movie people say.
That's what the DC people
say. Right.
Horror people are like, no, good. Throw them in that
I know. That's true. So I like it quite a bit. I was really excited when I saw it, so I'm very anxious to see how that movie comes together.
Yeah,
I don't know what to expect from that, but I'm anxious.
They did, as long as we're doing movie tidbits now.
Okay, movie tidbits.
They moved Spider-Man up 3 weeks. It's now the beginning of July in 2017. They moved Star Wars Episode 8 back 7 months.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any problems or slowing with the production.
Maybe a summer on that?
Well, they were supposed to move to summer.
Now it's December.
Episode 7 and Rogue One
good.
were going to be winter. And then Episode 8 was going to be summer, and they were probably going to go to summer, I think, from then on. And now they're floating in their piles of money going, you know what? Christmas works. Let's just do Christmas.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't think there was a problem with the production. I don't think there's a delay necessarily in the filming. I think they just went from a marketing standpoint, this is working, why change it?
Right.
So, for the foreseeable future, I guess, it's going to be Star Wars movie every Christmas, which I'm totally fine with.
I'm fine with that, too. And I told you earlier when we were talking about it, but I guess I just didn't even bother to look at the release date for Episode 8, so I just already assumed that it was going to come out in December, like 7.
Yeah.
So when I saw that news, I was like, oh, it got pushed back 7 months. December, that's exactly what I thought it was. Well, okay, I guess this is
rejoice.
Issue. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm okay with this.
So they moved Star Wars, I think, first, and then Pirates of the Caribbean move from its July spot into the May spot from Pirates. Star Wars. And then Spider-Man moved from its later July into its earlier July spot. So it was kind of just one of those reshuffling things. Yeah. And in the meantime, Paramount has completely taken Terminator Genesis 2 off of their schedule.
Ah, boo!
Which they did not say meant they weren't going to make one.
Oh, they're going to make one.
Yeah, I mean, it made so much money overseas in China and stuff like that.
Okay.
Actually, I think it made a lot more money than the records even show because there was some stuff going on in China at the time, which was a funny... They had some...
remember he told that story?
Yeah.
It's like a...
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, like the Chinese government was like, hey, we made a movie. You're gonna play it in your theater, and it's going to make this amount of money. And nobody was coming to see it, so they were just like, oh, you want to see Terminator? Here's a ticket for this movie. Just walk into that theater instead, you know?
Yeah.
But it made plenty of money worldwide, so I'm sure there will be another one. It's just a matter of what format. And the Paramount guys were even saying it's definitely going to continue. It's just a matter of... You know, how are we going to work this universe? Because there's a TV show on the table. That could be an option. There's another movie. That could be an option. They could be the same property. They could be separate properties. We're just kind of working on it. So they moved something around to that date. I don't remember what they moved into that. They put a date on Baywatch. I think that might have gone into there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they were doing that movie, too. Okay. Yeah.
I think that might be what took that spot for them. They just went, well, we'll just open this movie here, and then we'll take Terminator 2 off, and we'll figure it out. So,
crazy.
I believe there will be more Terminators. Wow, good. Another Terminator 2.
Another Terminator 2.
The last time they did a Terminator 2, it worked out great.
Really good. Yeah. Yep, it was very good for that property.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's hope for more of the same. But just a lot of release date shuffle.
Well, that's not a big... issue, I don't
think. No, not at all.
I've kind of felt like...
Worth noting.
Definitely worth noting, but it's funny, like, most of those, you know, like the Marvel stuff and Pirates and Star Wars, that's totally Disney, like, stepping back and going, what's going to make us the most money when?
Yeah.
And then they just did their thing, so,
yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into fan questions this week. We've got a lot of interaction, which has been really awesome.
That sounds like a great idea.
That sounded very rehearsed.
This is a very fluid transition, and I am excited about the direction we have randomly chosen to go.
You guys are amazing. All right, we got a lot of fan questions here, so we're going to go ahead and start going through these. We got two... people asking us about the same thing. So we're going to give them a shout out, both of them here.
Well, they win then.
Yeah, we got Thomas Colley on the Twitter, on the tweeters. And then over on our Facebook page, George. Both of them ask about the new Cloverfield trailer.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
You haven't seen that?
No.
10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah. Talk about something that came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
How awesome. Did you see the trailer, Ryan?
In front of that Benghazi movie in the preview screenings Thursday night.
Yeah.
13 hours.
Didn't see that.
And, I didn't either, but online the next day the trailer was there. And, it's weird. As far as I know, it's still all pure speculation because the movie's called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
But there's no mention of the monster or anything.
Well, that's why I was confused. I saw that on IMDb, but I didn't click on it. Well, it didn't look like it was a monster. I just thought they were just the trailer,
it's John Goodman and Lucy McClain, and who has a real name, but it always escapes
Mary
me. Elizabeth Winstead, I think. And I don't know the other guy. But they're all kind of hanging around, like it looks like a family, like drama or a comedy type thing. There's some music playing, they're playing games and stuff, and then it starts sounding more dramatic, and the girl is like starting to panic about something and running for the door. And basically, when she runs for the door, she actually has to climb up this ladder, and then there's this like steel and forced door, and she's looking out a porthole, and John Goodman's yelling at her not to leave.
Don't open that door, you're going to kill us all. It starts to look more and more like she and maybe her brother or the other guy that's in there might be being held against their will, kind of a thing. Because, like, she clocks John Goodman in the head while they're sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And then makes a break for that door, which she has to go up a ladder and try to get to. And there's, like, a little padlock that she had already, like... clipped or something, like she's trying to get out.
Yeah,
yeah. And meanwhile, while this is happening, there is like some sort of like shaking or like an earthquakey thing kind of happening, like some kind of disaster is happening. So it looks like they might be bunkered down in some sort of like almost like one of those bomb shelter kind of things.
It's a blast from the past.
Yes. It's like they're So it almost seems like for some reason this family might be in some sort of a bomb shelter while the Cloverfield monster is attacking or something.
And when
I don't know.
When it first came and I was looking at all the stuff, and I don't know how much of this stuff is accurate because obviously it's JJ doing his JJ thing. Because this movie comes out in like March.
Nobody knew they filmed
it. It's just a few weeks away.
Well,
it's listed under like Valerium or something like that. There was a different title. And the synopsis didn't change. It doesn't seem to have changed. But nobody knew when that movie was coming out, what specifically it was about, and it never had any relation to Cloverfield. And then all of a sudden, boom, this trailer drops, and it's like, oh, well, now that's the name of the movie, apparently.
Yeah.
And the synopsis there said basically it's a family in a bomb shelter hiding, you know, because of some sort of radioactive wasteland or whatever is supposed to supposedly outside, but nobody knows. And now even with the name... And JJ's involved, obviously, but he didn't make the movie or anything. But when they slap that name on it, then all of a sudden the speculation comes in, well, is this actually another Cloverfield? Is it a sequel? Does it take place in the same world? Is Cloverfield just a code name for the weird, small, independent-style movies that JJ's going to produce when he feels like it? Does it have anything to do with that monster at all? Nobody has a clue. So, but you know what? Awesome. It doesn't, though. It could be.
I feel like it does. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could go in any direction, but
yeah.
I just remember, like, the buildup for Cloverfield was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I feel like that sort of thing just doesn't happen as much anymore, you know? And there was so much mystery surrounding the first Cloverfield, and they did a lot of the viral stuff, which was really fun to look at. Like, I got real wrapped up in that, and I remember we went and saw that together, because I remember going, I gotta go see this movie, because I was really getting wrapped up in all the internet stuff and everything they were doing. I thought it was so fun. And I just remember, like, nobody knew exactly what that movie was going to be about. And remember, that one was like a found footage movie.
Yeah.
So this is like another, like, if this is a sequel, they've totally changed the style and the direction and everything, too. The first one was a found footage movie. But that's I remember all, there was, like, early speculation that, like, Cloverfield was going to turn out to be a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
And, like, there was going to be the big reveal that the monster was actually Godzilla. So, like, there was almost, like, we were sitting in the theater, and there was still, like, that little, like, shred of hope that friggin' Godzilla was going to show up on the screen, because we legitimately had no idea what we were going to be seeing in this movie.
It reminded me a lot of the Blair Witch build-up, the original Blair Witch build-up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where
absolutely.
It's, I mean, you know, different, obviously, in nature, different style of movie, but that same kind of, we don't really know what we're walking into.
Right.
We haven't really seen marketing like this hardly ever.
Right.
You know?
So I really enjoyed the first Cloverfield movie. Just, I mean, the experience really made that movie.
And I'm telling you, as quickly as this one's coming out, I hope we don't see another thing about it.
Right, me too.
See news. I don't want to see a new trailer. I just want to see the movie come out in March.
The
and I'll
fact
be there.
That this dropped and nobody knew that he was making this movie that might be tied to the first Cloverfield was enough to just immediately pique my interest. And I'm like, I'm definitely seeing this movie. I'm ready to go see this movie. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see what the connection is, if there is one.
It's gonna
be
an interesting March.
It is. It is going to be an interesting March. Also, John Goodman's in it, and I love John Goodman.
Just in
anything. He's awesome. Yeah. So, Cloverfield.
And Lucy McClane. She was in one of the good diehards.
Lucy McClane.
One of the four good diehards, so not the fifth diehard. Oh, she was in the fifth diehard.
She's in the beginning.
Yeah, she was.
All right. Next, we're going to move on to a question from Ryan Farr on the Facebook page. He says, with every studio doing a cinematic universe, Marvel, DC, Universal with their horror monster universe, the Fast and the Furious movies, Paramount with their Transformers universe that's soon going to, they're going to do the whole Mask, G.I. Joe, Rom the Space Knight, Micronauts thing that we talked about, Sony... apparently with a possible Valiant Comics universe. I hadn't heard that.
I've seen a little bit about
that. And then Legendary with the Godzilla and King Kong universe, which I had heard about that they're going to do a Godzilla King Kong thing. Which universe do you guys think has the most potential?
Marvel.
What cinematic universe do you guys think needs to happen? So that's part two of the question. Marvel. What was our thing? I forgot it
Marvel
again.
Good, yay.
Marvel good yay.
This is why we have you.
Yeah,
around.
I can't even remember our own new favorite catchphrase. Marvel, good, yay.
So,
I would almost say, like, from a, if you're gonna take the literal question and say which has the most potential, I mean, Marvel is the forerunner for all of this stuff. They're the first ones to do it, and they're doing it well.
I mean, they're obviously.
So they set the bar. Yeah,
they set.
So
the bar.
I exclude them from saying, well, who has the most potential? Well, obviously, they're in the lead right now, so let's pull them out. But honestly, as far as what has the most potential from a cloud pleasing standpoint, a money making standpoint, I mean, I think Fast and Furious is running right up behind them as far as money and honestly crowd pleasing goes, because
mm-hmm.
everybody's loved those last few movies, and I'm right on that bandwagon.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as just what I'm generally excited about with some of the ones that we haven't really seen yet, I'm gonna cross my fingers and hope that Universal Monster movie universe is awesome. Because I don't really know much about what they're doing with it, but I have visions in my head that could be awesome, and I'm hoping that comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as far as like what cinematic universes we would like to see happen, I'm just going to go ahead and be the guy that throws out there He-Man and She-Ra.
Mm-hmm.
You can make those two worlds work, right, in different movies and have them interloping, and I, obviously that's something I want to see.
Yeah.
I just want to see it done good. That's my big thing with it.
And even within within the He-Man universe, you could make four or five different main characters
yeah.
that had their own kind of
you
small
really
franchises
could. I feel
that
like
come
it,
together into
yeah.
bigger ones. So,
I feel
yeah,
like
absolutely.
For sure. There's so much potential with mm-hmm. Masters altogether. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. And it's just it's one of those, like, I can try to think of a property they're not already working on, but as far as like what do I want to see, I'm
yeah.
already seeing what I want. Like, I want to see more Star Wars. I want to see more
yeah.
comic books in general. I'm getting all the stuff that I want to see already.
It's
so.
Amazing time right now. We're
yeah,
getting things
exactly.
we never thought we'd
it's,
see.
It's utopia for nerds.
Well, let me ask you guys this question then, because relating yeah. to this, I've actually seen a few, I don't know, news articles or whatever you want to call them online, where they've already started saying that there's like a shared universe fatigue and that the shared universe thing is getting old already and it's going to cause problems. Do you agree with that?
No. Look at the conversations around the internet. Look
yeah.
at the dollar returns
right.
coming back off of these things. That is more than what we were talking about earlier. It's just that we have to put a negative spin on everything.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
that's how are we negative with this? They've been talking about comic book fatigue since before Iron Man came out.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, do you think that's a real thing at this point? I would say no.
Yeah, I disagree too, because like we've always said, this is the type of stuff I've always wanted to
yes.
see. Like even when I was a kid, I never understood why it was okay to see all these guys in cartoons together or all these guys crossing over in comic books, but why couldn't I see it in a movie, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that it's finally happening, I say keep it coming because we want to see this sort of thing.
Movies have always been where the spectacle and
right.
the money and the event status is, and television has long since been a storytelling medium.
Right.
Why can't you blend the two together? Well, they are now.
Right.
I mean, because that's essentially what we're seeing. We're seeing new episodes every 6 months, except every episode is a huge deal, you know? And,
yeah.
And I love it. And there's no reason to be fatigued from stuff like this. If you don't like a certain genre, you don't have to go see it just because it's a shared universe, you know? I know plenty of people who have seen all three Iron Man movies and have not seen a single Thor, but they kind of like that first Avengers. You can pick and choose out of there. I know plenty of people who like the comic book movies from either company, but they don't really dig Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
They're separate shared universe. Like, you don't have to go and do everything. So why would there ever be fatigue?
Right.
And if you don't want to watch a new movie every 6 months, then stick with the standalone stories and the artsier fare. I mean, there's something for everybody at the cinema. So why bother complaining?
I'll take a Fast Furious Jurassic Park crossover.
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious and Jurassic Park?
Universal.
I am freaking in.
With the Universal Monster.
You have no
yeah.
idea.
Oh, wait, what?
My
driving cars.
My head just exploded.
Dracula in a Lamborghini?
Yeah, exactly.
Co-piloted by a Velociraptor?
Why not?
Do Lamborghinis have co-pilots?
Yeah, yeah. Why wouldn't they? And then Vin Diesel's like riding on the top, going, "It's about family. We're family. I'm in, dude.
Oh,
I'm
super." I miss Paul Walker.
Why'd you have to bring it there, dude? We were talking about dinosaurs and monsters.
I know. I thought of Fast and the Furious movies, and it makes me sad.
Well, the other thing that Ryan mentions on here, so I want to bring it up real quick, as he says,
"This other guy,
not you, the Ryan on Facebook." He says, "What about that Masters of the Universe documentary? You guys may not have heard about this yet."
What about it?
So it just launched on Kickstarter yesterday. It's the same people that did the Turtle Power documentary not too long ago and the Nintendo Quest documentary, which was about collecting all the Nintendo games. Yeah. Okay. So the same people that did those are in the process of doing a documentary about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And they posted it on Kickstarter yesterday to raise money to produce the movie. It has been online for like 24 hours now, and it's already 51% funded. So they're doing very good already.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this quite a bit. There are a lot of people that they've already got on their roster who are going to be awesome people to be interviewed for this. I've got a lot of friends on here that are going to be working on this, so that's really cool.
I feel like your name should be on here.
I don't want to jump the gun on anything, but I've already been talking to them. They've already reached out to me. So,
As soon as I said that out loud, I went, "Well, I'm not actually trying to make this about us."
There's a really great list, though. I mean, they've got people that worked on the cartoon series, all of the cartoon series, the mini comics, the original toy line, the newer stuff. I mean, they've got a massive cast of people who have worked on this property and touched it in some way that they're bringing together for this documentary. And so it seems like it's going to be really cool. And I've been talking with the guys, like I just mentioned, they've reached out to me pretty early on and they actually gave me a sneak peek at all this stuff before I went live. So I personally am very excited about it. I definitely endorse it. So if this is something that interests you guys, go look on Kickstarter right now. It's called Power of Grayskull. Check it out. It's looks like it's for sure going to be like funded. I don't think there's any chance of it not, considering it's got 37 days left and it's already 51% there. So it seems like it's going to make it
through. When you make half your money in the first day, it's got to be a good sign.
So that's pretty good stuff. I'm pretty excited for that. And I always love seeing a property that I love like this get some extra attention like this. That's pretty cool. So check it out. All right, let's go ahead and move on to a question from John. Not you, John on Facebook.
Different John.
Yeah, different John. He says... He says, "It was established in an early episode of the Geek Easy podcast that Zack Snyder's Man of Steel was an unmitigated dumpster fire."
Did we use those exact words? Because I feel like we did.
It says, "Do you think that the influence of Ben Affleck and Academy Award winning writer Chris, is it Terrio? Terrio?
Terrio.
On Batman vs. Superman will be enough to make this new movie at the very least watchable? Or maybe even, dare I say, a good movie." And we've talked about this a lot, Batman versus Superman. I still feel like it's very hard to say for sure. Like, I don't know if Ben Affleck specifically is going to have that kind of influence on the movie. What do you think?
I don't know that Ben Affleck comes onto your movie without having some level of say.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's enough, I don't know. I would say I think both of these are good signs.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's necessarily strong enough to write a ship that's going completely sideways, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm hoping it is.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like I said, I mean, you're putting a guy with big enough clout in there and a writer with, a good enough resume to have some faith in. So nothing about either of those people being included can possibly be a negative in and of itself. It's just a matter of, like you said, whether it's enough positive to really turn it around. We've got our hopes up for that movie to an extent. It doesn't often sound like we do.
I know.
We've been burned before. I think Ben Affleck playing Batman should be something I'm way more excited about than I am, and that's in attest to how much disappointment I felt from Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I love Ben Affleck, and I think him playing Batman is going to be awesome. I just hope the movie that he's in is as good as I think he's going to be, you know? So, we're going to cross our fingers.
We're crossing our fingers. That's the best I can say at this point. Like, I'm crossing my fingers. I want to remain as optimistic as possible. I'm going to go into that movie. Regardless, I'm going to see that movie when it comes out, and we'll just see what happens. I think that's hilarious.
No comment.
No right. comment from Ryan. Okay.
I can't say too much.
That's true.
I'm afraid.
Ryan can't say much because he's like, Hollywood.
I'm just trying to get you involved.
I know, but I don't want to talk about that because something might slip. I'm supposed to say that?
Well, we'll go and move on to this next question then. Comes from Martin. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He says, hi, guys. Happy New Year. I'm a longtime listener from the Netherlands, hey. And I love your show. I have a question for you guys. Is there any big thing from the past that you wish you had paid more attention to back in the day? I don't mean I wish I bought all the Star Wars figures and kept them mint in box, but more like I wish I had read this comic or got into that toy line or watched that movie.
Man. That's a... great question.
Yeah, it's
dangerously unprepared.
For yeah, I know, yeah. right?
I have one for that.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
I will say I didn't see Big Trouble in Little China when I was a kid. I was much older, so it didn't have like the impact it did. Sort of when I was a kid, but still.
Look, I could fall right into that camp because I'm probably the worst when it comes to that sort of thing. I missed out on a lot of those iconic movies for some reason when I was a kid. And I think part of that is because I wasn't really allowed to watch those types of movies when I was younger.
Right.
So there were always, even when I was a kid, there were movies that people were talking about at school that I never got to see. And you guys, I mean, Big Trouble in Little China is a perfect example because you guys made me watch that not too long ago, and I had never seen that, you know?
I will say the other thing was, is I think I saw Return of the Jedi first.
You saw Return of the Jedi before any other Star Wars movies?
I mean, that's just an age thing.
Yeah.
As anything,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But I wish, you know, it came to a point where I'd seen that in Empire and didn't even know about New Hope.
Yeah.
And I found out about it and asked my dad. He's like, oh, clean your room. Then we're going to the video store. And I get done watching it and I'm like, where's the lightsaber fight at the end?
I was
so upset. I was like, there's no lightsaber fight at the end. Just because, you know.
There was a lightsaber fight at the end.
Yes, but like, not Luke and
the other two.
Like, I was expecting it to be the same.
I guess on the Star Wars front, I did get into that a little later too because I was already, you know,
when Jedi was coming out.
I know. I was born the year before Jedi came out. But what I'm saying is like, and it's funny because I don't mean it the way that he just worded his question, but I didn't have any Star Wars toys as a kid because as a kid, I didn't really know anything about Star Wars. It wasn't until I was getting a little older, because I got so into Star Trek The Next Generation on TV that my dad finally said, you know what? I think you would like the Star Wars movies. We should rent those and watch them. And then from that point on, I was a massive Star Wars fan. But yeah, I mean, like, it was one of those things that I wasn't really into as a young kid. It was when I got older, so... I don't know.
We used to have to rent all that stuff, too, which is funny to me to think about now, because back then, I mean, you didn't really buy movies that often.
When right.
They were like $100 to own. Like, seriously, like a VHS copy would be. But now it's funny to think back and be like, wow, people had to rent Star Wars?
Isn't that
Everyone
crazy?
Didn't just own them?
Everybody didn't just have... There weren't a million copies available? Yeah. And yeah, that's funny.
I would... you know, when I was... growing up, it was 1992 when Terminator 2 came out.
In that range.
So that's when...
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that is when I would have been 12. That's when I started getting into a lot of really cool stuff. And not because I was allowed to watch any of that stuff when I was younger. I was just kind of a wuss, and everything scared me.
Okay.
You know? And I sort of got drugged to Terminator 2. Like, I don't know if I want to see that. Those robots look scary, but my dad wants to go, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and go. You know, and then I watched him like, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire
life. Judgment Day scene, like, scare the bejesus out of you?
I didn't care by that point. I was like, this is amazing. Someone bring me Predator.
Someone bring me Predator.
Let's just go.
That's good.
But, so as far as like, you know, through the 80s, I didn't catch a lot of that stuff that was more of the, you know, adult themed right away. So like a lot of the Schwarzenegger flicks and stuff like that I didn't catch until I get into my teen years.
But yeah.
That's all stuff I caught up on pretty well real time. The most I would say, the closest probably to answer the direct question, stuff I didn't catch up on, was it's more that I kind of wish I had kept up on more of the actual comic book stuff over the last
years. For sure.
Because I did so much of that when I was a teenager and then had more, you know, time and disposable income, and it just sort of all fell off the thing. But now, every time these movies come out and these big storylines get talked about, I always feel like I'm kind of just on the outside of knowing what I'm talking about. You know, and so, like, it's like, I know a lot of this history, sort of.
Yeah.
Except it's the memory's so old and so much of it has changed, and I don't know any of that stuff, and I kind of wish I was more in tune with that. So that would be the big thing. if there's a regret, it's just that I let all that stuff fall so far to the wayside.
It's funny how I could, like, say, just basically mimic everything you guys are saying. I definitely feel the same way about the comic book stuff. Like, I wish I would have gotten more into comic books at a younger age, mm-hmm. and I wish I would have been able to stick with comic books. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of my thing. I feel like I didn't get into it as soon as I should have, and I definitely feel like I never should have really got out of it as complete as I did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's everything that I know about comics now, it's mostly me going online and researching stories.
Yeah. Right.
I wish that I actually was experiencing these stories when they were happening rather than reading about them later.
Yep.
And that's kind of
and
a bummer
sometimes. Even when you look at, like, cause sometimes you just come across the news of what's going on.
So yeah.
You come across these reports like, hey, here's the solicitation for everything's coming out for
uh-huh.
Marvel or DC on X day. And I'm like, man, I don't understand a clue of what's going on with any of this stuff right now.
I know. Yeah, that's definitely a big regret there. So that was an awesome question.
Yeah, very good
question.
Good
stuff. All right, final question of the day comes from our good buddy Jack P. Starrow. He says, the new Suicide Squad trailer seems to indicate that Harley Quinn's origin will be told in flashback. And indeed, the whole premise of the film rather implies that these characters are all established villains. Add to that that I've heard rumors that the solo Batfleck films may be set pre-Batman vs. Superman. And we do already know that the Wonder Woman movie is set in World War I. What do you guys think about the DC Cinematic Universe having a kind of anthology approach to its timeline as opposed to the MCU's pretty linear rollout? Do you think it would work if they did something like the New 52 with the Justice League movie introducing them all as established heroes and then have all of their solo films all set 5 years earlier to show their origins? Bonus points if you can answer the question without dumping on Man of Steel for the umpteenth time.
Sorry.
and we kind of even talked about that a little bit when we were talking about the trailer earlier, but that's kind of an interesting thought. Like, if Batman versus Superman and Justice League is sort of like a modern day setting, but then if all of their solo movies kind of follow what Wonder Woman's does and is like jumping backwards to tell us how they became these characters or jump backwards to give us a story of them on their own. I don't think that's a terrible approach from DC considering they're actually coming about this at a complete opposite way of Marvel.
I think that could be awesome if it's done well.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, for sure. If they kind of, and that would really, because one of my problems with the idea of dumping Justice League early is that it just seems like it's, you know, when you're starting with the ending, kind of like that should be something that is built to.
Yeah.
And so when you just go, well, here everybody is, nobody heard of them 6 months ago, but now they're all huge heroes and they're good at what they do and whatever else, that just kind of seems out of whack to me. But if they're going, hey, here's this movie now, you guys already know who these people are, so we're just going to give you the movie,
mm-hmm.
and then later we'll show you how this version of it came to be, I'm totally cool with that. And I can already envision, you know, 6-8 years down the road, looking at the universe the same way I can look at right now, you know, 2008 until now and everything they've done with Marvel, when I can look at it as a catalog instead and
right.
go, okay, well, now I want to watch this section of it, and now I want to look at you know, this person's origin or whatever, and being able to kind of pick and choose, that could be super cool.
Yeah.
Again, it just involves, you know, no matter how they do it timeline-wise, it all revolves around just do it well.
Yeah,
tell me
for
good,
sure.
entertaining, well-played stories that make sense, and if you do that, the timeline thing is kind of secondary. However, now that I've been given that idea, I'm falling more and more in love with it.
Yeah, so. That's kind of cool, and I didn't, this is actually the first I've heard of the Batman solo movie taking place before Batman versus Superman, but
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, like we already talked about earlier, we've already seen things like the Robin suit with the ha ha ha's written on it and talks of Joker. It'd be cool if the standalone Batman movie kind of maybe gave us some of those stories. Yeah. Told some of those stories. That'd be kind of cool. I'd be okay with that. That's a really good thought. And now it's got me thinking in a way I hadn't really been thinking about these movies before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on board with that.
Kind of got me excited.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm totally on board with that if they can pull it off well, like you said. Right. That's cool.
As long as it's better than Man of Steel. Ah.
Oh, no, we lost our bonus points. Way to go, dude. Way to go.
Sorry, awesome. Jack.
Awesome. Anything you want to add to that, Ryan?
Marvel good yay.
Marvel good yay. And we'll end it right there. That's perfect.
Best episode ever.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for sending in the fan questions. We truly appreciate it. If any of you guys listening to the show ever wants to write us, give us topic suggestions, send questions like that, the best way to do it is to reach us on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/geekeasypodcast. Give us a like. That way you can stay up to date with us right there on Facebook and interact with us. That'd be really great to hear from you guys. That's going to wrap up this episode. So if you guys are listening to the show, there are a couple different ways that you can reach us. We are available on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher for you Android users. And of course, we're available on the Podbean app. So feel free to subscribe to us, follow us, write us a review, rate us, whatever you can do to help spread the word and stay up to date with us. We'd really appreciate it. And then, of course, there's those of you who are watching the video segments on my YouTube channel. So don't forget to subscribe there as well. And that way you'll catch all of the Geekeasy podcast segments and all those other toy videos and stuff that I do, especially since Toy Fair coverage is coming up very soon. That's going to be a lot of stuff on the channel soon. A lot of videos. So cool things. All right, gentlemen, any final words from you before we say goodbye to our listeners?
No, I think I think we literally said everything we could possibly say.
Well, there are so many words in this episode. All right, guys. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. And until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Leonard.
I'm Ryan.
Take it easy, guys.
The Geekeasy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geekeasy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geekeasy Podcast.